Boom. Hey, this is Stelly FT.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about cash flow. Right, Stelly?
That is correct.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done. Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
You know, cash was one of our favorite topics, but I think so far on the podcast, we've mostly covered it from the how to make more money side of things, how to generate more cash. But you know, yep. a very smart friend of mine and a very good entrepreneur once said, a dollar saved is a dollar made. So today we want to talk about the other side of things, which is like cutting costs, saving money, managing the cash flow from both sides, not just from how much money you generate, but also how much money is leaving your company. I thought that would be fascinating, and we could probably drop some knowledge bombs here on people. So yeah, let's jump right in. What can startups do? What should startups do to improve their cash flow, to cut costs, to save money?
I mean, first you got to know where you're spending money, right?
That seems like a
right?
Good,
like,
seems like a good place
so
to start.
I would say that I know it sounds ridiculous, but a lot of startups don't know where they're spending money. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like, we can break this up into like two super simple things, which is, you know, where are you spending money? And then when you spend money, what's your process of determining whether you should spend said money or not? Because that's it. It sounds stupid, but you're spending money. Can you save any of it? Can you spend less money? Are there alternatives that are cheaper to that expenditure? Right? And then the more important one, to not get yourself in the position to even have to evaluate this all the time, is to make sure that when you decide to spend money, you have a process of evaluating if that's the best way to spend the money or not.
That right there, I just want to, everybody who's listening, I want you to stop the podcast for a second and ask yourself, what is my process for spending money? And I'd be surprised if people know exactly. I would assume that the vast majority would have to think through a few times they've made purchasing decisions or spending decisions and then write down reactively what that could look like if they would call it a process. But my assumption is that most people and most startups, they just don't have a process or they're totally unaware of how they make those decisions.
Yeah, like in all my businesses, somebody owns a spreadsheet and the spreadsheet has all the expenditures and it's being checked very regularly. And that's an easy way to manage. And every time there's like a cost added to it, somebody is adding it to the spreadsheet. So that's one like very brute force way where, you know, even if you don't have a finance person or somebody like that, you know, usually that somebody should be a co-founder, somebody who's very responsible for it, or somebody who the co-founder manages directly and is able to do a check-in regularly. Or, you know, as you get larger, somebody in finance that a co-founder or CEO, you know, if you're in that situation, is able to basically talk to regularly. Because the thing is, like, it won't get managed. It really will not get managed, your expenses, your money, if you don't watch it. And when cash flow, we're just talking about management of money. We're talking about something very basic you learned when you had a piggy bank.
So I love the idea of the spreadsheet and of just even creating that level of transparency. It sounds so simple, but again, I've never seen a startup do this. Like I've talked to so many founders, but I think that most of these companies, they just, you know, there's a number of people in the company that can make purchasing decisions or have a credit card or whatever. And they just, if it's a massive purchase, they might, you know, consult others. But if it's kind of a quote unquote smaller, whatever that definition is, if for that specific startup, if it's a small expense, just people just decide, yes, let's purchase this piece of software. Yes, let's just purchase this or that. And this brings me to an interesting point. So putting everything in a spreadsheet and creating that level of transparency and also creating the simple process of if you want to add an expense to this company, you have to submit it in the spreadsheet, right? So that it's transparent for everybody to see, question, ask. And that alone, I think, can make a dramatic difference. Which brings up, you know, another point, which is the big expense and small expenses, right? I don't know about you, but in my experience, you know, different people tend to react differently to certain type of expenses. You know, some people care about all expenses and manage the cash flow really, really well and have learned that from a young age. Maybe doing good piggy bank management as a young kid. But most people, as they grow up, you know, they tend to have a very subjective interpretation on what kind of spending is too much or wasteful and what isn't, right? And these opinions can vary very, very widely between different people. One thing that I've noticed early on between me and one of my co-founders was that, you know, I'm somebody that's fairly careless when it comes to small expenses. If it's less than $100, I don't tend to really research and try to find a cheaper solution. I don't tend to spend too much time. In my mind, for whatever reason, it seems like this is not an expense that's important enough for me to spend a lot of time questioning it or trying to save money on it. And my co-founder is the exact opposite. He really pays detailed attention to the tiniest of expenses. And then, but vice versa, when it comes to really big expenses, whenever we had to make a really big bet, he seemed to be very, you know, easy on making those decisions and going, you know what, let's go all in, let's buy this, you know, let's lease this massive office space and let's go for it. And I'd be super conservative. I'm getting very nervous. You know, the expenses, you know, multiple thousands of dollars, you know, I get very conservative. I get very, very careful about it. So we were always able to kind of balance each other out on that front. But I'm just wondering if you make any distinction between small and big ones, because the bigger your company becomes, the more every little line item will matter. And if you sum them all up, even if it's tiny expenses, I've learned this painfully, they can make up significant amount of money. Right. So have you noticed mistakes being done more on these big bet expenses as startups, more on the small ones, or just equally on all fronts?
Yeah, I mean, I see it both ways. I think your description was really good of, you know, mentioning that people think of money in different ways. A lot of it is just based on their upbringing. I was, you know, being funny about the joking about the piggy bank thing, but it's kind of real, right? Like everyone has gotten some kind of piggy bank, some kind of allowance, something to help manage money when they're kids somehow, maybe even it's $5 for lunch, you know, every day at elementary school or whatever it is. There's some management you're doing, you just don't know it. So to me though, like in a startup, in a business, I think the small ones and the big ones matter. Cause like you said, the small ones add up, especially as the company grows, especially as more people can buy stuff. I was going to ask you about the $100, be like, is that recurring $100, Steli? Or is that like a one-time $100, right? Because like that's an important distinction, right? Because $100 a month for a year is up $1,200, right? So, you know, and again, like I have similar situation where, you know, not similar, but like it's similar in the sense of like we have a partnership, right? And for me, you know, there's always... there's been somebody who actually is much more critical of the expenses than I am. So that's been always great for me to have, because it's very easy for me to either not care about any expense, regardless of size, or care too much about every little expense. And I'm like an on and off switch on that. And so it's nice to have someone who just always cares, right? Because I can flip-flop. I can flip-flop more than most people around most things, especially that. And so, you know, for me, it's like, I don't know, one day if it's $10,000, I might be like, that's cool, because I personally can see the ROI of it. Or if it's $100, I'll be like, why are we spending that $100, right? And I don't like that about myself. I'd rather have a way better objective way to make a decision. And what I mean by like that is like, I don't want to have that weight of having to figure that out all the time and having to adjust. So I always have somebody, I tend to have somebody who can help with that. Usually it's, you know, a co-founder, right? And they are so much stricter about that spreadsheet and managing it and asking me the questions of, are we spending on this? Is that good or bad? And in the beginning, it was frustrating because I'm like, oh, they don't trust me. But what I realized is they just care about the cash flow so much as if my switch was on. But my switch is now off and they're the ones caring about that. And that works out for me. So I think a lot of it has to do with relationships and, you know, how, you know, different people react to spending money. And that's a lot, like I said, I really love what you said. It's a lot of it is upbringing and what your relationship with money is. And I don't think people realize that, you know, even like, I mean, when have you had to manage your money? Usually never. I know that sounds weird, but like you make money, you spend money, Just basically spend less than you make. Oh yeah, don't forget about taxes, right? And like, it's like, shit. The stuff adds up when you start thinking about all that, right? And when you have a business, you have to pay taxes. When you have a business, you have to manage the money. When you raise money, you have to manage the money. If you haven't raised money, you have to manage cash flow a lot more strictly, because otherwise you will run out of money. You might wake up one day and have a very, very little amount of money in your bank account if you're not watching it. So to me, it's like, log into your bank account every few days would be a good hack if we want to get into that, right? Log into your bank account, look at it. Log into your credit cards, look at them. Put it on your calendar to do that. Sounds so stupid, right? But if you're like one to like not care about money, force yourself to look at it. And then you'll just start getting a habit of understanding what the ins and outs in your business are.
Since we're on the side of like giving some practical tips, let's maybe think about some of the ways that we've been able to save a lot of money or manage our cash flow better, and see if there's some general tips that we can give to companies. And I'll give one right off the bat that I think too many people are not doing this aggressively enough, which is you need to negotiate really hard. The higher the expense, the more you should negotiate. And just because you've negotiated in the past does not mean you can't renegotiate again as your expenses go up, especially when you work with like infrastructure providers, right? If you use certain third-party platforms, that as you scale your business, as you do more stuff, it gets more and more expensive. And this could be things like your server infrastructure with AWS or whatever you're hosting your servers at. This can be a number of things that you use as technology infrastructure, where cost as you grow, as your business grows, can go up significantly, can be a shit ton of money. And you don't want to just take whatever the pricing is and be okay with it. No, you want to try to see if there's discount codes, if they do certain promotional things you could participate in to save some money. You want to establish a relationship there or go to their events. You want to, you know, engage with them in social media. You want to save any buck you can, and you'd be surprised, like especially with these infrastructure places where you pay, where you start paying thousands of dollars a month. Oftentimes, you can renegotiate and go back, and you can get another discount or some kind of a bonus thing, and it can add up. I mean, we have saved tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars with some of the service providers we've worked with, just because we never stopped looking for ways to save money, because we could see that every month and year by year, we were spending more and more huge amounts of money, right? And if you can save over an entire year, you know, $10,000, $20,000, that's significant money. That's another $1,500 to $2,000 a month that you could spend on something else, on ads. You could spend on, you know, giving somebody a raise or hiring somebody or whatever else, right? Or just being profitable, if that's what separates you from profit and loss. But just negotiating much harder on these contracts, especially the ones that could amount to a lot of money. And even if you have, and it's been like 6 months, 9 months, or a year, and you're not happy about the amount of money you're spending, just send them another email, give them a call and go, we're not happy, we're about to leave, although we're becoming a bigger and bigger customer, these prices just don't work anymore for us. And oftentimes when you say that, magically they'll go, oh, you just slipped to this new range of customer that we can give another discount because of the volume you're paying us now. And magically they find ways to save you some money to keep you happy and keep you around. And that mostly will be insignificant to them or not that significant. But to your company, this can be, you know, a ton of money and can make all the difference in the world. So negotiate hard and renegotiate. Don't be afraid to go back, you know, 6, 9, 12 months later and say, this doesn't work anymore. We're paying more, more, more. We need to find a way to save money. And you'd be surprised how many times, you know, these companies are going to be open to doing that. The point is renegotiate contracts frequently. If you're spending more and more money with these service providers, you'd be surprised how many times they're going to be open to coming up with some kind of a deal and bring down your costs significantly. And to them, it might not matter, but to you, it might be the biggest savings you can generate for your business.
Awesome. Yeah. I really like that one. I love what you said earlier, and this is why this episode is so important to anybody. Some people who are really like finance geeks, so to speak, and financially minded are probably going to think everything we're saying is absurd, but that's the minority of you out there. I know this. So I think, you know, this idea that like you haven't seen any startup have a spreadsheet like that and all that is super important. Like, this is why we get so many calls, so many emails, you know, you and I, or so many founders asking for advice because they're about to run out of money.
Mm.
And like, I think it's absurd. No offense to anyone that's ever been about to run out of money. That's some serious shit. Like, you're running out of money, but it's likely because you've been overspending in areas that you shouldn't be. So
yeah,
go ahead.
No, the one thing that I was thinking now as you were saying that is one thing that I want to bring up. Besides, most of the things that we've covered so far have been, I think, very kind of fundamental, basic things that are not that difficult to do, but most people still don't do it. And I think if you do these things, if people do these basic things when it comes to managing their cash flow and their finances in their startup, they're going to have a much higher chance of not getting into trouble. There's one thing that just popped up in my head as we were talking that I thought we should mention real quickly, which is long-term contracts, right? So it's not that often that a startup will be forced to sign something that's more of a long-term contract, but it can be something that gets you in trouble later on, obviously because of the long-term structure of it. So an office lease comes to mind immediately, but other things can come to mind as well, where you are forced, you don't have an option, you're forced to sign a, you know, 2-year, 3-year lease, and, you know, everything looks good today, but a year from now, things are not looking great, maybe you're pivoting, maybe you have to shrink the size of your team significantly, but now you still have this big office space, so you have this office space that you just don't need anymore, but you have this kind of signed contract. I want to touch on that a little bit. Do you have any experience on like kind of like these long-term commitments financially? Should startups just avoid them?
Yeah. General rule is avoid them at all costs, except when you can't afford to avoid them, right? And what I mean by that is sometimes there's just such tremendous savings, and that is an impactful savings for your startup. Mm. That being said, what I see founders do is they commit to like a long-term contract, and then they don't realize that they shouldn't be committing to it because they're going to run out of money, and they're still going to owe the money for the contract.
Mm.
So do some math, because it's a long-term contract. You don't want to deal with defaulting on a contract. That's just stupid, right? So I see that because they're just running so fast and they're like, yeah, I'll sign whatever. I need the service, or I need this or that or whatever. Yeah.
So I agree with Eaton from today's perspective and from the experience that I've had in the past. If you can't avoid it, absolutely avoid signing any long-term commitments until you can forecast with accuracy, you know, long-term what your business is going to be generating, right? Until you get to the point where your startup has a lot of stability and some scale and some predictability, it makes no sense to, you know, lock yourself in into the future when you don't even know what your tomorrow will look like. So try to avoid these at any cost if you have already committed to them. Again, coming back to the renegotiation part, just because you have a long-term contract, if you absolutely need to get out of it, it doesn't mean you can't. Oftentimes, the type of businesses that do these long-term contracts with others, they have to face fairly frequently that these people, these entities, these companies can't uphold themselves to these long-term contracts. So they've been in the situation before. They might have ways to help you either renegotiate the contract or get out of it or get somebody else into it. Like, right, if you have an office, you could just find a subleaser. If you want to get out of the lease or give you like a 2-month break on paying on the contract, there's many, many ways to renegotiate when you're in a situation where you have to. And unfortunately, too many times startups, when they have these long-term contracts, they wait till the very last second when they have like no more wiggle room. And that's when they go and approach the companies that they have these long-term contracts with, and usually that's way too late. If you have a long-term contract and you can see in the next few months we might get into trouble cash flow-wise, you need to aggressively approach every single one of them today and try to save money, get out of the contract, or find some kind of other way that's positive for both sides and finding a compromise. But yeah, if you can, just don't get into long-term contracts if you're a startup in general. It's not a good idea typically. All right. I think this is it from us for this episode, Heaton.
Yeah. Cash flow. Watch it or lose it.
Watch it, manage it, or lose it. That's it from us for this episode. Bye-bye.
Later.